The topic of my talk is Gridstar fast and accurate detection of SMS spam numbers in large cellular networks using grid phone number space. It's a joint work with my colleagues Anne Sklark from AT&T Labs and Nanjiang and Professor Zhili Zhang from the University of Minnesota. In this talk, I'm first going to give a motivation of our work, and then I will briefly introduce the existing SMS spam defenses used commonly today in large cellular carrier networks. And then I'm going to introduce the concept of grid phone number space, on top of which we'll talk about design and evaluation of the Gridstar system. Then I will summarize my work. So every one of us, once in a while, have already received this kind of SMS spam. So those spam messages usually contain a URL pointing to an illegitimate site. And the main text content within each of the spam messages serve as a purpose of tricking user clicking on the links to visit the site. So there are many kinds of topics used by the SMS spammers to do the trick, such as using gift card, a free gift card, or dating, or cash advance, or any other kind of services. So in the past year, we have observed a huge increase of SMS spam messages in cellular networks. And we have seen 4.5 billion spam messages in 2012. And based on our analysis, most of these spam messages are for advertising illegitimate sites. On those sites, once users visited those sites, they'll be tricked into inputting their personal information, such as their phone numbers, their home addresses, or their credit card numbers. And early this year, we have found that some of the malwares are propagated through using SMS spam. So one of the malware disguised as a gaming app, and once a phone got infected, the malware will send spam messages to all the contact, everyone on the contact list. And then the spam message will include a URL for downloading the malware in order to infect more smartphones. Excuse me. So given the large number of spam messages, how does it impact the cellular network and its carrier and its users? So once a spammer initiates a large number of a large SMS spam campaign, the message will be sent through the serving cell tower of the spammer will enter and then enters the SS7 network, where the messages will be temporarily stored at the short message service center, and then will be pushed to the end user once the user are online. So in this case, the spammer can affect users at different kind of geolocations, like New York, Los Angeles, and Florida. In addition to bringing a very annoying user experience, those spam messages can inflict direct financial loss to the users, especially for the users who have a pay-per-use SMS service plan. So once they receive a spam message, it will charge the user like 10 cents to 20 cents. So if the number of messages is large, then the cost, the loss will be considerable. In addition to impacting cellular users, those spam messages can also downgrade the network performance, especially at the serving cell tower of the spammer. At those cell towers, we have observed up to 10 times increase of SMS traffic volume on average when spamming activities occur. Because SMS message delivered through the mobile, through the cellular voice control channel, so that can potentially impact not only the voice service, the SMS service, but also the data service as well. So given the adverse impact of SMS spam on cellular networks and its users, so where shall we control those SMS spam from a cellular carrier perspective? Based on lessons we have learned for controlling email spam, there are many locations that can do the job. The one of the choice is to place a filter at the end user device. However, this is not a feasible solution here because most of the mobile devices have a battery constraint. And also, there's a limited OS port. For example, some of the feature phones which are able to receive SMS spam, they're not capable of running such app to filter the spam. Another problem for this approach is that once the spam arrived at the end user device, the financial loss has already inflicted. So this is a late solution. Another choice we have is to place a centralized a filter, SMSC, like the usually email providers do. But the problem here is that the SMS messages only temporarily stored as SMSC and then pushed immediately to the end users when they are online. This is very different from the email case, where the email servers are expecting users to retrieve emails from the server. So in that case, here, we only have a limited time, response time, to spam messages. And especially when the traffic volume is pretty huge. For example, it has been reported that billions of SMS messages are observed as MSC per day in the US. So another problem for playing a filter as SMSC is that it cannot help with the problem of impact on the cellular network performance. So given all these reasons, the best choice for controlling SMS spam is at the source. In other words, we want to detect those spam numbers earlier and then to restrict their SMS activity before they reach out to many victims. So given this objective, there is a very strong requirement in terms of the minimizing false positives. We don't really want to disturb normal user activities by restrict their SMS service incorrectly. So in that case, many of the existing solutions based on spamming sending patterns will not be applicable here, because some of the legitimate users, especially like large institutions like universities or airlines, they can send SMS messages to their subscribers at a very high rate. In that case, their behaviors will be very similar to those of the spammers. So because of these reasons, currently carriers often rely on customers to help them identify spam numbers. So I illustrate this kind of victim spam report surveys provided by the carriers in the plot below. There's a couple steps. At the beginning, once the user receives a spam message, he can choose to forward message to a particular phone number, usually 7726, standing for the spam. And then reply message will come back, ask the user to send the phone number of the sender to the carrier. And then after user delivered the phone number, another confirmation will come and indicating the spam records has been generated. And usually people can make mistakes, especially during the third step. So a cross-sourcing technique can be used to improve the accuracy. For example, a spam number can only be confirmed once at least K distinct users have reported it. Although this method can be very accurate because of the manual vetting process and the human intelligence added during the submission process, there can be a significant delay caused by user response. So in our analysis, we found there's two kinds of delay. One is the report delay, which is time between the first spam is sent by spammer and then the first report is received by the carrier. So in the median case, there's like 1 day of the delay. Another delay is the user delay. It's the time between when a customer receives the spam and the time when the customer reports spam. There'll be another like a 1 hour delay in the median case. Another problem for this approach is that the spammers can potentially game the system by sending fake SMM reports to the carrier so they can deny or service any of the phone numbers. So in order to develop more accurate and fast detection of spam numbers, we characterize the SMS spam activities using 1 year of call detail records collected at a large cellular network over 1 year time period. And those ones are collected at the mobile switch centers and only contains very limited information of each of the SMS message, including the sender's phone number, the receiver's phone number, and also the timestamp. There's no text content recorded in this data set. We found that most spammers are very aggressive, which is intuitive because they want to reach as many customer victims as possible. So their sending rate will be like a couple hundred spam messages per minute. And another very important thing is that most of spammers will choose target randomly. This is very different from the email case because email address space is infinite. So usually spammers will obtain victim list first before sending spam messages. But for this, for the SMS spam, this is very different because the phone number space is finite. So for example, like the North American case, the phone number will be like 10 digits, right? So you can easily enumerate any old phone number from this kind of, by randomly choosing these 10 digits. And we also found that a lot of spammers, they focus on area codes corresponding to large metro areas. In this case, it can actually increase their chance of hitting live customers by focusing on those area codes. I illustrate there's a three typical spamming patterns in this three plots below, where the x-axis is the time, and the y-axis is the phone number space, and each point is a hit. In the plot on the left-hand side, this is the global random spamming, where the spammer will choose phone numbers randomly from the entire phone space. And the second one is the global sequential spamming, where the spammer also target on the entire phone space, but will choose victims sequentially. The last one is the most common one, which spammers only focus on few error codes, but randomly choose victims from these error codes. So given the observation that most spammers will choose targets randomly from the from the phone number space, however, certain of the phone number, given the size of phone number space, a lot of phone numbers are not supposed to receive SMS messages. I'll give a case example here. Some of the phone numbers are not assigned to active users. Those phone numbers we refer to as dark phone numbers. So because they're not assigned, so they're not supposed to receive SMS messages. In other words, any SMS message sent towards those dark numbers are very likely to be spam messages. So by monitoring those traffic towards the dark numbers, we can identify those spamming activities. So the problem for this approach is that it is very hard to identify dark phone numbers because the phone number space is shared by multiple carriers. So in order to query whether a phone number is dark, we have to ask all the carriers to see if they have assigned this phone number to any of their customers. So this is a very challenging task. However, we can still utilize this idea by focusing on something called gray phone numbers. Those gray phone numbers, they are associated with the live customers. However, those phone numbers, they usually do not participate in SMS activities. So in that case, any phone number, any SMS message towards those gray phone numbers are also likely to be spam messages. So the question is, how can we find those gray phone numbers? It turns out that the gray phone numbers has a strong correlation with the device types. So in this plot, I show the number of SMS messages sent by each type of devices over 1 month time period. And this is the CDF distribution. We can see there's a clear like a cluster here. On the right-hand side, there are two types of devices which usually send a lot of SMS messages, like the regular phone devices, smartphones, and the PDAs. And there's also one exception of the GPS case. But the devices on the left-hand side, they usually don't participate in SMS communication. One of these devices, one type of these devices is the data-only devices, like the netbook, like data cards, or iPad. Another type of devices which do not participate in SMS communication are the M2M devices, like the electricity meters, like the vending machines, or medical devices. And because of this, we can define the gray phone numbers as those phone numbers that are associated with device on the left-hand side. And our analysis shows that the gray phone numbers are dynamic and they're uniformly distributed in the entire phone number space. In that case, because of the random spamming strategies adopted by most spammers, they can hardly avoid touching those gray phone numbers. So now we can talk about how we utilize the gray phone numbers to design a system called GrayStar. The heuristic here is that the random spammers, they cannot avoid touching those gray phone numbers, but legitimate users will hardly touch gray phone numbers because they know who they want to communicate with. And then we can define a metric called grid ratio to capture the difference. The grid ratio is defined as a percentage of phone numbers accessed by a user within a time window. So the plot on the right-hand side shows this difference. So for any legitimate user, the blue curve shows that they hardly touch gray phone numbers. So their gray ratio is very close to zero. Even conditioned on the legitimate user touching gray numbers, their gray ratio is much smaller than the ones of the spam phone numbers. So to design the gray star, the challenge is that the gray ratio theta for the spammers is not fixed, because for this gray ratio is associated with a particular error code. A spammer when touch error codes corresponding to New York, the gray ratio will be very different from the ones corresponding to, say, New Jersey. So this is a random variable. Another challenge is that, sorry, the legitimate users, even though they don't touch gray phone numbers most of the time, their gray ratio is not strictly zero. So some of them may reply to the spammers who are using M2M devices to send out spam. So their gray ratio can be of some value, but not non-zero value. Because of this, we try to solve this problem by formulating the target selection process as a two-step generative model. At the first step, the user will choose a phone number space to select target, and this phone number space has a gray ratio of theta. And then the user or the spammer will choose phone numbers following a Bernoulli process from this error code, and then we'll send a message to these. In this case, we can assume theta to be a random variable with a beta distribution, and then we can build a Bayesian detection model on top of that to differentiate users and the spammers. We evaluated our approach using 5 months SMS CDR data last year from January to May. And our ground truth is the spam victim spam reports. And for the phone numbers that were not reported by the victims, we asked fraud agent to help us do the investigation. And the results shows that in 5 months, Graystar is able to detect 20,000 spam numbers and only miss 500 spam numbers per month. And over 4,000 of spam numbers were not reported by customers. And only 2 potential false alarms we have observed, likely due to spam malware activities. In terms of the detection speed, compare it with the method of crowdsourcing victim reports. We denote this algorithm as a K+, which means that we need at least K distinct users to report spam number in order to confirm it. So Graystar is in 50% of cases 1 day ahead of the 1+ algorithm, and in 90% of cases 1 day ahead of a 3+ algorithm. The fast detection of spam numbers can help us greatly reduce the spam traffic in the network. So we run simulation on the same data set and found that once Graystar is deployed, we're able to reduce 50% of the SMS spam during the peak hour. This can bring a great benefit to the cellular carrier by reducing spam traffic volume. I also want to talk about the limitations of a Graystar. Graystar are not able to detect spammers who target foreign numbers. Because they don't touch the carrier network, we are not able to see them. Another type of spammers we're not able to detect are the ones with some kind of targets victim list. For example, some of the spammers can obtain this victim phone number from some social engineering techniques, or like using some auto dialers to find which ones are active, which phone numbers corresponding to active users. So in that case, we need to combine with other methods like the victim spam reports to build a more robust SMS spam defense. In summary, in this work, we carry out a comprehensive study of SMS spam in a large mobility network. And we now innovate the notion of gray phone numbers to detect spam phone numbers. And also we design and develop a spam detection system called Graystar, which demonstrates promising results in controlling SMS spam. That's the end of the talk. I'm happy to take questions. Thank you.
Microsoft Research. So I guess another sort of feature that you can use is to look at the rate of sending, spam sending, how many messages that spammers, each number sends out, right?
You mean
from a given source, like how many messages that, you know, is going out from a number.
Right, that's right. But as I said before, we can combine these features with the great phone number knowledge to build a better defense, but we cannot really use those kind of features alone because the spamming patterns cannot really differentiate the spammers as some of the legitimate users.
Right, so, I mean, you can definitely combine these features,
yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So you're looking into this?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Dan Wallach, Rice University. I really enjoy this work because I hate SMS spam almost as much as regular spam. And I'm curious if you've looked at trying to combine these signals with other signals that are available to you, such as where the SMS message came from. Did it come from your web gateway? Did it come from a gateway with another cell phone provider, et cetera? Because I imagine you have a lot of other signals that are potentially available to you to help you with your classification.
Yes, absolutely. So two things I can think of. One is we can monitor the location of the spammers, because some of the spammers, they like to concentrate on large metro areas. We observe more spammers come from, say, Los Angeles. So we can actually pay more attention to the phone numbers, for the phone number with high SMS volume at those locations. The other things that I can think of is some of the phone numbers, some of spammers like to use phone numbers, especially for the prepaid phone numbers. So there's no service plan, so you purchase these kind of phone numbers, you pay $2 per day, and then you can just spam whatever volumes you want. So actually we can pay more attention to phone numbers belong to this category. So that's all the information we can utilize.
Mahesh Tripunatara from the University of Waterloo. So it seems to me that you have some fairly big assumptions regarding the attacker profile, right? So for example, what if the attacker, rather than choosing the victim uniformly at random, has a different probability distribution?
Based on our analysis, we found that this kind of random spamming strategy will cover 90% of the spammers. But there are exceptions. Some of the spammers I mentioned, they use some kind of technique, autodialer, to obtain some kind of phone number list before they're doing the spamming. So in that case, their spamming strategies are not random. So in that case, we can not really detect those phone numbers using this method.
Hi, so my question is about your reaction to the spam. What actually happens as a result of the detection? Do you go after the handset owner itself, or are you just simply not delivering the messages to the victims?
Usually the way is basically to control the SMS service of the detected phone numbers. So basically we stop them sending SMS messages.
So you have the ability to turn off their SMS capability?
Yes. Well, ideally, if all the cellular carriers can collaborate, and not only cellular carrier, also landline carriers, they can collaborate and then they can share the information about which phone numbers are active, which phone numbers are inactive, we can actually build some kind of darknet, so which will be more accurate. But in this case, because this information is very hard to be shared, so I guess probably due to private information or some other kind of concerns. So that's why we come up with the kind of a gray phone number idea. For this case, we only need to monitor the phone numbers at one particular carrier network without asking the help from the other carriers.